do have today. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, we're going to start in Proverbs, the third chapter. Just one verse we'll look at there, and then that'll be the basis of this sermon that I have this morning. If you read the book of Proverbs, and I do recommend that you take time to read the book of Proverbs, and it's always good to read it numerous times a year, I think, because there's so many timeless lessons that we can find in Proverbs that benefit us individually. And you don't even have to be a follower of God to benefit from the lessons in Proverbs. I mean, many of them are directly applicable towards our relationship to God, but there's many good lessons on wisdom and how a man can become better by following the tenets that the writer has given. But the book primarily focuses on the wisdom in a man's life and how we can increase that wisdom and how it will benefit us in life. It's really a step-by-step instruction manual for us on things that we should do, how we should act, how we should react, how we should think. And in Proverbs, the third chapter in verse 3, this is just one verse. I mean, that whole chapter is a wonderful chapter, but just one thing that he writes there. He says, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." So he gives us this verse using primarily the terms kindness and truth. And tells us to never let them leave us. But he tells us something else. He said that these should be bound or hung around our neck, or bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. So he's telling there's a great importance in your life to keeping these two things close by. Now, one of the problems as I was studying this lesson, for this lesson, is I realized that the word knowledge that's used here, some translation from the Hebrew to the Greek to the English was lost in this. And it does have the probably the definition that you would come up with for kindness, but there's a lot more to it than that. So the Hebrew word for this is for kindness is hesed. And I know the Hebrew word doesn't mean anything to any of us, me either. I just wanted you to know that when you're studying, if you go back and you're using these terms, you can go and you can start looking up this word in the Old Testament, and then you can see places that it's been used and how it's used. And sometimes you see that word used and you're like, well, that doesn't even make sense. Well, that's partly because of how it got translated into Greek during the when they translated it from Hebrew to Greek in the Septuagint. So this word has often been translated as mercy or loving kindness. And that's true. But the essence of the term hesed is loyalty to God's covenant. And so that largely differs from the word that comes to our mind, which is mercy and loving kindness. So when he tells us right here, he says, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you." If you think of the term, "Do not let loyalty to God's covenant leave you." Now, associated with this word hesed is also mercy and loving kindness. So it's a two-part way that this is used, and so it extends, it means to extend merciful pity to those in a covenant relationship with God. And judgment, this is the second part of it, and judgment to all those who oppose it. So if you turn over to Psalms 136. This is a good illustration of the use of this word, and maybe it will help each of us to grow a little bit in our understanding and how we should understand how we should use the term loving kindness as seen here in Proverbs 3:3 in our own life, and how it ties to this covenant relationship or loyalty to the covenant relationship. So this is actually a strange place to read about this, because normally we'd read about what I'm going to read in Psalms in the book of Exodus. But in Psalms 136, beginning in verse 10, he says here, "To him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and brought Israel out from the midst, from their midst, for his loving kindness is understanding. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Now pay attention to the first part of each of these verses, what he's telling us. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his loving kindness is everlasting. But he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his loving kindness is everlasting. So when you look at this, he talks about how God smote the Egyptians. He brought Israel out of the midst of Egypt with a strong hand. He divided the Red Sea. Now, we all can look at this and we can say, when you go back and you read this event out of Exodus, where children of Egypt are leaving Egypt, the army of Pharaoh is pursuing them. He's led them through the wilderness where there's a mountain that's on both sides of them and the Red Sea in front of them and the Egyptian army behind them. These children of Israel now are in this state, and if you remember, they complained to Moses right then and there, "You led us out of Egypt. And look at what our situation is." And Moses tells them, he says, "God is going to fight this battle for you." Now, if you want to think about the greatest battle ever fought, think about this battle right here. God fights Egypt. The Israels cross through the Red Sea because he opens it up for them. They get to the other side. Do you know what the outcome of that battle was? How many Israelites died during that battle? None. Zero. You know how many Egyptians died in that battle of the Egyptian army? All of them. Is that not the greatest battle that was ever fought? That's what he means. Hesed, loyalty to God's covenant. Moses is telling them, watch what God's about to do. Look at who your deliverer is. Follow me. Go through that Red Sea right there. This wind has just opened up this door, this gateway for you. You have no way to go in the back. Follow God. See what happens. So as God delivered them from the Egyptians, we see mercy and loving kindness. But we also see the judgment in this one, don't we? Because as Israel came through and the Egyptians followed him, he closed the doors of the Red Sea and it swallowed them all up. This greatest battle, God fought the entire thing. That was the judgment on Pharaoh because of the hardness of his heart. So when we read this verse and we think about loving kindness, keep in your mind, follow God's covenant, and there's great mercy to me and there's great judgment. I don't make the judgment. God makes the judgment on all those who oppose me. The second part of this verse, he says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Now truth, it's not as complicated as kindness. It comes from this Greek word, emet, or something like that. I'm not a Greek scholar, sorry, a Hebrew scholar. Hebrew, not Greek. Hebrew word. And this word means properly something confirmed as truth, preeminently all that God supports as true reality. There's no illusion here. It's what he said will happen, happens. So that's what he's telling us here in Proverbs. If you want to gain wisdom, then adhere to God's word. Be loyal to his covenant. Obtain mercy and judgment. And believe everything that he said. Anything that came from his mouth is truth. These are the things that we need to have in our life. And this word is like kindness. It is directly influenced by God and his will. So, if you'll turn over now to Psalms, the 25th chapter. This is a prayer of David's here. And I love this psalm. It's most of David's Psalms are beautiful, but look at what he's saying now. I mean, once again, you and I can reflect on this psalm and think about how this would change our life if we reflect on this psalm and we actually apply this to our life. He says in verse 4, he says, "Make me know thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all the day." He recognizes the walk in his life, and he recognizes that he needs God directing him throughout his life. I think David recognizes that God's truth is much better than the thoughts of man and the teachings of man. That if he follows God's truth, there's great reward. There's security, there's safety, there's this kindness that we talk about here. He says in this prayer, he says, "Teach me thy paths." Now, I don't know what that means when you say, "Teach me thy paths." But David's prayer here is pretty deep in what he's asking for. He's saying, "God, the walk that I have in life, my life, I don't desire to guide my own steps." He's saying, "I desire for you to illuminate for me the very pathway that I want to walk on." And this term path comes from another Hebrew word here. I don't really know how to say that, but I think it's ora. And that's properly means an unpaved footpath, the way of an individual. It connects heart to behavior. So it's not just saying, "Direct me down this road that you've chosen." He's actually saying, when David prays this, he's saying, "Help to convert, change my heart, so that the steps that I take are in accordance to your word, your covenant relationship." That's really what David's saying, is that I don't want to just walk this way. And remember, if you look at how the Jews served Israel, and especially by the time we get to the New Testament, what Frank was kind of talking about this morning is that they're taking all these elements of Judaism and they're practicing those. And they became really good at following the tenets of Judaism. But there was nothing coming from the heart. It was all about how well I follow the rules. And that's not what David's asking here. He's saying, in this term of ora, he's saying, "Let my heart be directly connected to my behavior. What I think is what I am." So it's to simplify this, it's a matching nature between the inner character and our actions. Matching nature between our inner character and the actions that that come out of us. And the eternal significance of the path taken by the individual is that it leads us to heaven, or if we're hard-hearted, it leads us to condemnation. So when you read this in Proverbs, the third chapter, the admonition to me is, don't let truth and kindness leave you. These things are essential to your relationship to God. His word, what he has said, and the way that we're loyal to that word and how it directs us down his path, these are essential to the walk that we have with God. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, Jesus kind of gives a dissertation on, in my opinion, on this very thought. Beginning in verse, and I don't want to read all of it, but I'm going to have to read a bunch of it. But beginning in verse 31, and this goes from 31 to 46. So he says here, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those who are on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So now we're talking about those who have walked according to God's word, right? They are on this path that God has laid out for them. Their heart and their actions are interwoven with the word of God, and they're loyal to him. So listen to what Jesus says now here. He says in verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these least of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me. You know what he's talking about right there is the same thing that we've been reading out of Psalms and Proverbs. He's talking about this term of the heart, the conversion of who I am, that the actions that people see in me are the same things that are happening up here. And what he's saying is it happened and you didn't even know you were doing it because you did it for the right reason. Now that's what he wants to happen right here. That we're loyal to God. And so when the children of Israel crossed over into the Red Sea, they weren't actually being loyal to God, even though that's what Moses is trying to teach him at this point, is look to God. He's your Savior. He's your guide. He's your salvation and all these things. And they kept looking back to the physical things, and they kept depending on themselves, and they kept depending on Moses to fix whatever little problem they had in their life. And they never completely changed themselves into how they were thinking and how they were acting. And the real question for you and me is that what's happening with us? Have we turned our life completely over to God? Are we walking in His kindness? Are we loyal to Him in our covenant? Is truth? Are we looking to His word for everything? And is He the one who's laying out the pathway that we should follow? Or do we just kind of keep stepping in and out of our relationship with God? So that when He says to us, well, when you gave a drink to these that were thirsty and something to eat to those that were hungry, and you say, well, I don't really remember doing it. And you might be that person that said, well, you don't remember it because you never did it. Or are we that person who doesn't and doesn't even think about it? Because loyalty and truth have been bound on our neck. It's been written on the tablets of our heart. That's the way we should walk. That's what He wants to see in us. In 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, Paul talks about something right here that is a reflection of who we should be and who people should see when they look at us. In 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3, 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3, he says, you are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Now what Paul's telling us is the exact same thing that Proverbs is telling us in 3:3 there. He's telling us that you have been converted, and it's not a conversion of fleshly things, it's a conversion of spiritual things, and the fleshly man now walks according to the Spirit. The path that you walk on is the one that God has laid out, and He's guiding us through His truth and the knowledge of His Word. This writing kindness and truth as if on the tablets of the heart, that's an inward part. That's the part of us that communes with God. That's the part of us that keeps us in prayer, in study, in thought, in reflection, in repentance, recognizing the error in our life and changing that. That's the part that he's telling us here. And the goal for each of us should be to free ourselves from the sin of the world and to walk in harmony on God's path with God. That should be our goal. In John the 8th chapter, Jesus is talking here about the truth. And he's telling the Jews here that they need to follow this truth in their life. But he's made a statement here, and we've heard this statement, and it's used a lot, but I don't think people sometimes consider the real meaning of it. I mean, if you go to the CIA right there as you walk through the door of the main building there at Langley, there's a big circle of the CIA there, and I think it's on the wall, if I remember right. They have this Bible scripture. They say, "Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I'm like, that's an interesting thing to put at the CIA, head of spies. You know? And then I look at what Jesus is saying here. In verse 31 of John 8, he says, "Jesus, therefore, who was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine.'" And you, if you abide in his word, see, you got to put these two pieces together. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If, there is the conjunction used to introduce the conditional clause, if, Angela smiles when I say that. She says, "Jeff doesn't have the first clue about English language or grammar." I had to look that up, Ange.
Mm-hmm. I was impressed.
Yeah. I'm not going to try to pretend that I know anything about the English language. I can speak it almost. But grammar was not my topic. So I did look this up, because I understand that "if" has this special meaning. So it is the conjunction used to introduce this conditional clause. If you abide in my word. So you can also say, if you don't abide in my word, none of the things that follow will happen. If you don't abide in his word, you won't know the truth, and you will never be made free. But if you know his word and you abide in his word, you can be set free. Set free from what? See, that's why I think it's funny when you go to the CIA building. Because he's saying you'll be set free from sin. Set free from the eternal death that is associated with sin. And it's only by understanding God's truth and his knowledge, walking according to the path that God has set for us, that these things happen. Back in Psalms, the 25th chapter, we just read, where David's had this prayer, I just thought it was interesting. When you read a little further in Psalms 25, you get down to verse 10. David uses both these words, hesed and emet, in the sentence himself. Psalms 25 and verse 10. And then he also talks about the path, ora. So he uses, once again, all three of these words are used in this verse. He says, "All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies." And that goes right back to what Jesus said in John 8:31. If the conditional clause there. David's telling us this thing. If you walk according to God's path, he says, understanding this covenant, the loyalty to God's covenant, mercy, truth, and judgment, he says, then those who keep his covenant and testimonies, those are the ones that God will pardon. He says in verse 11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. The lesson's yours. It's I know it's a little bit of a different lesson because of me just trying to work off one verse there and explain this, but I think it's important for us each to understand that this walk that we have in God, it's really not a complicated thing. It's taking his word, it's listening to his word, it's understanding his word, and it's applying his word. If there's anyone here today who has any needs, then we invite you to come as together we stand and we sing number 353.